We are joined in the studio by Rowan Wernham. How are you today?
Doing good. Yeah, nice to be here.
How's Dunedin been for you? You've been here for a little bit, you said?
I just came in for the week, you know, but I grew up here, so it's always nice to remember the chill climate.
Yeah. That is one way to describe it, yeah. Right, we are here with you because we're talking about your documentary film, Pistachio Wars, which is having a screening on the 14th of July this weekend at the Metro, you said?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've just been playing at the Dock Edge Festival, which is only in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, so we wanted to do a screening in Dunedin.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've got two at the Metro this weekend. 3:20 is sold out already, and then the 6:30 p.m. is probably still got some tickets.
Brilliant, and we're going to have two tickets to give away on air, so stay locked on 91FM and you'll learn how to get those ones. Give us a little rundown of what Pistachio Wars is.
Yeah, so Pistachio Wars, it's set in California, and basically is the story of the two biggest farmers in California who aren't who you might imagine. They live in Beverly Hills. One of them is a marketing genius, or I suppose genius, you know, marketing person. His father produced a Hollywood cult classic, The Blob.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's niche.
And the other one is, came from New Jersey, possibly had some weird mob connections, had a few pretty successful businesses, and they just kind of stumbled into farming. But these two farmers, they've called themselves the Wonderful Company. So they're in that kind of like corporate social good zone. And they basically have a monopoly on the pistachio production and distribution in America. And, you know, some of the world's biggest exporters of nuts. So we kind of take a road trip. I'm working with a journalist, Yasha Levine, a Russian-American guy who grew up in California. We take a road trip through Central California. We look at these giant industrial farms of the Wonderful Company. You know, I don't want to spoil anything, but the Wonderful Company, not as wonderful as you might imagine. there's you know, water politics. It's very much like a real life Chinatown, you know, with like water heists and sinister, you know, inequality and, you know, wells drying up, weird plots going on, weird characters in small towns. And then there's this other kind of weird aspect to the pistachio industry in America, which is that you know, the biggest pistachio grower in the world used to be Iran, at the end of the 70s there was an Iranian revolution, there was a hostage crisis, the relations between America and Iran went bad, and all of the Iranian exports were essentially blocked out of America. So the American pistachio industry took that opportunity to grow and became the biggest industry in the world. But they're very conscious that they need to lobby to keep things bad with Iran. So, you know, this is kind of the weird aspect of the movie. It's like this idea of a snack food, like lobbying for war, kind of being with some pretty dark Dick Cheney kind of people, you know.
Very Californian.
Very Californian.
Very Californian, yeah.
It's like, don't know what it is about America. You know, they just can't have anything that's not caught up in some dirty business.
Yeah. Exactly. So this was filmed over a long amount of time, and you spent 100 days in California. You said it was lots of weekends. How was that?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you're from New Zealand and you think, oh, I want to visit California someday, you think, I'm going to go to Big Sur, I'm going to go to the Joshua Tree, I'm going to go to Yosemite. I went through the part of California no one wants to visit because it's just a giant, flat, desolate. It didn't used to be. It used to be a beautiful wetland full of birds. It was a seasonal floodplain, you know, might have been comparable to like the savannah of Africa or something. This is part of the movie in a way, is how it's been transformed now. It's like giant industrial cattle feed lots, you know, flat grids of trees, you know, that look really cool in drone shots. So you should come and see the movie. Prisons, oil production. In short, it's a pretty nasty place. But it's a weird place, and people don't really look at it because it is so seemingly featureless and just in, I don't know, how do you know, it's like inaccessible in a weird way. Yeah.
So you filmed this in collaboration with journalist Yasha Levine? Levine,
yes.
Levine. How was that?
I mean, you know, he's a great writer. I was a fan of his work before we started working together. We had actually a connection through somebody that was one of his former colleagues who worked at the University of Otago, strangely. Yeah, you know, and I just kind of, he'd written an article called A Journey Through Oligarch Valley, which is this great chronicle of like all of these big farming interests in Central California. And then Pistachio Wars kind of picked up one, which is the Resniks, the wonderful company, and, you know, the Iranian nut stuff. and we developed that into a film. Yeah.
Nice. So this is your first feature, but you have worked on short films before, one of them, Exogenesis, which is actually an animation film. What's it like, the difference between animation and doing a feature-length documentary?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I made an animated film quite some time ago. You know, I do other stuff. I have a job, you know. It's like, and that was with the Dunedin guy, James Robinson, an artist from down here, you know, also really amazing dude. And, you know, I then went away and did some software development stuff, you know, didn't get rich, unfortunately. But I wanted to get back into filmmaking, and I thought, well, I'll do a documentary. I can fund it out of pocket. You know, like, it's not that expensive. You just need the time and, you know, get it done in a couple of years, and then I can get on with my dream of being, you know, the next James Cameron making big budget science fiction movies. And of course, like 10 years later, we like just finished the documentary.
But you did get recognition at the Christchurch Doc Festival, which was Best Emerging Filmmaker. How did it feel to get that?
Quite surprising.
Really?
Like, yeah. You know, it's like, I didn't expect the film to be one that would be an obvious choice for New Zealand awards. You know, it's like in the New Zealand category, but it's very focused in America.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, maybe, I don't know, that's how things are at these days, that they just look at things, they're not so interested in the national perspective. You know, there was a weird thing where two films in the international competition were very New Zealand centered. There was a story about the Whanganui River, made by a Dutch guy, you know, and another film, like, which must have had an international production, which was called Maori, you know, so it's mixed up these days, I guess. You know, the other film that won big in the New Zealand category was another film shot in LA about hummingbirds. So, yeah, I didn't expect to win, but it's, like, really flattering to be recognized and given an award. Yeah, and I'll take it.
Nice. You are actually a past MIFCO student. I'm a past MIFCO student. Angus is a MIFCO.
I'm a MIFCO student in my last year, so it's good to see. So we can actually get out of Otago and get going and get recognised, especially across New Zealand. It's awesome. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know what the production side of things is like here now, but, you know, University of Otago has always had great people, you know.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to young people wanting to get into the industry, trying to get into the industry?
I mean, I think it's just you have to try and find a way to make it happen yourself, usually. You know, like, I mean, I started doing Mothras when I was here. You know, that was a cool thing. I don't know if that's still around, the student film competition. Pick up a camera, go and make a weird movie and student film awards. I mean, don't fuck around. Don't, you know, beep around. just try, if you want to make movies, just try and find a way to keep doing it, you know. When I made that animated film, we got into some festivals in the States, and I was around people that were making American indie films then for like $25,000. Mm-hmm. Then 10 years later, they're all making, you know, Amazon series and, you know, huge movies. And so a lot of the time it's just the people that manage to hang in there, you know, it might take 10 years, but, sometimes people are like, oh, I got to get some funding. I've got to get something commissioned. It's not always going to happen. Usually, since it's so competitive, you've just got to maybe try and make something, you know, try and make the film you want to see yourself and
And keep at it.
Think about how it fits in to, you know, to what's going on, you know. If you can find something that you're interested in, it's also a hot button, that's like a good combination.
Yeah, it's the perfect recipe for success, ideally. I'm really interested in what you found was the biggest challenge when making this film.
I mean, probably the fact that we didn't know how to make a documentary. You know, like, you just think, everyone thinks they're really clever, you know,
and
Yasha had a background, obviously, as a print journalist, so he had a journalistic background, but, like, writing long-form articles is very different to, like, writing a narration for a documentary, and, you know, there are things going into this that most filmmakers would take for granted. It's like, oh, do you have access? You know, are the billionaires going to give you some special interview? Or do you have some secret connection that's going to let you in the back door at their factory? You know, we didn't have any of that, so we just went out looking for things. And we ended up, you know, because we had the time, getting into weird situations and finding good material. But at that stage, it was like, oh, we don't really know how to make it all work as a story. So pulling together everything we had into a coherent story, you know, and like creating this backstory also with the Resniks out of like archival material and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's what took us all the time, you know, figuring out how to make that work. Yeah, tying up all the threads.
Nice. Angus, over to you.
Hold on, a bit unprepared, obviously. But I just thought it's, since you highlighted in California, would you ever think of doing a documentary in New Zealand, highlighting anything in New Zealand, or is that on the horizons, doing something in New Zealand, or still do you enjoy the kind of filmmaking in America?
That's a good question. I mean, there's going to be good stories everywhere, you know. I'm not living here anymore, you know, so I'm not as tapped into what's going on here. But, you know, Yasha did some of his best writing when he was in Victorville, you know, which is a tiny town outside of California. You'd right, think nothing's yeah. going on, but if you have the right yeah. sensibility and you go scratching around, there's always something fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, there's always something going on, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, at some point, maybe. I mean, maybe, like, some drama stuff, you know, wouldn't mind doing a short or a feature, like a drama set over here. There's no, like, documentaries in the pipeline that I have, you know, in my back of my mind for New Zealand.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing one in the Amazon next.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I'm still on my big OE, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the mode I'm in.
Yeah. Unreal.
Cool. And how does it feel for it to be out and people watching it?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, all of the suffering has been forgotten. So Finally now it just feels like yeah. we're reaping the rewards.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see it with an audience. And, you know, like what I thought was quite an idiosyncratic and like slightly ranty movie seems to be connecting with people. You know, I guess a lot of people are kind of pissed off about environmental destruction and, you know, the billionaire ruling class being insane degenerates. You know, these things. And, you know, like sometimes our media isn't really expressing them anymore. Because we were self-funded or we kind of crowdfunded the movie, we didn't have to like think, oh, we need to like rein this in so it's going to be broadcast TV friendly. You know, we kind of like weren't constrained. We could be a little weird and push things in a bit of a weird direction and push the darker angle a bit more.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been lovely to talk to you. Do you want to shout out the details of where people can get tickets, see it, all that good stuff?
Exactly, yeah. So come along to the Metro Cinema this weekend. I think the screening with tickets is at 6:30. I'm going to do a Q&A at both. I'll probably be more drunk after the second Q&A, so that's the one where I'm going to really spill the beans.
So make sure everybody goes to that one.
Yeah, go to that one. And, yeah, you can get the tickets from the Metro. If you just look up the website, email them, phone them, pop in. And also, it's still screening. It's going to be screening as part of the Doc Edge online as well. So you can go to, like, Doc Edge, I don't know, website, Google it or something, and look for Pistachio Wars, and you can stream it for, like, $20 or something for 2 weeks.
Nice. Awesome.
Sounds great.
If you lovely listeners out there are interested in seeing Pistachio Wars, which I think you should be, then we've got 2 tickets to give away. Text in with your favorite type of nut. And whoever texts in first gets a double pass. So that is favorite type of nut. And the number up there, Angus, do you want to read that one out for me?
021-272-3461.
Hit that up. And make sure that you keep an eye on Rowan and check out the work that he'll have in the future.
That was the Radio 191 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.